Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check it out. This is Chicago's own comedian B. Cole, and you listen to my man Ray, Devon, and also the beautiful Candace on the Truth Brothers. Now, if you ain't listening to the Truth Brothers, the truth ain't in you. Let's do this, baby.
Some of it you're gonna like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is Truth Brothers Radio.
More like it.
If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, then the truth ain't in you. Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. It's Thursday, and this is the Truth Brothers.
And it's working.
818-514-1202 is the number. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers.
And as always, maybe you can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net, and truth might be spelled T-R-U-F.
Well, I'll tell you what, we definitely stand by on Facebook, Twitter, and I've got the room on my blog, so hey, fellas.
What is
all right.
Going
that
on?
Is the Deuce Stream on Thursday.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody?
Right. Find out what happened.
Yeah, I would ask how the week, but I think we kind of know how it's going.
Week, okay. You had a good week, praise Jesus. I'm just
this I
word, I mean, you know, but we everywhere.
Everywhere.
I stepped in soap yesterday.
There you go.
Literally.
There you go. So yeah, you know, Monday we had a very special guest, and when we decided to come on air, everything just literally blew up. Everything just because of him. FBI showed up. No, law enforcement showed up and said, yeah, we heard you got B. Cole here. And, it got real nasty. It really did.
That bad. So do I have to reintroduce him? Can we just
you got any shots? We get him after terrible truth. But you got any, say hello.
Again, we got to just say real quick, Tracy Dodson, Jamila Thompson, Sam Hawkins, what's up? Got to say a big shout out to Nisha Hernandez, though. Much love to them. DJs, B-Days, quick, Mark Avery, Frederick Lunk is his name. He raps under the name Mark Avery. What
all
I
right.
do for him, I don't know. Jessica Robinson, my cousin Lamar Patrick, sub cuz, and Frederica Wibley. That's a girl's name, no joke.
Gotcha.
We call her Dreek.
All right.
Get the people going.
All right. And with all that out there, let's go ahead and jump right into the terrible truth.
Ready.
This is the terrible truth with your terrible anchors, Ray and Devon.
Greetings and salutations. This is Kent Clark. Yes, I got glasses on. I haven't worn these in a while.
It just messed me up. Go ahead.
What, the glasses and do-rag don't do it for you? I'm chocolate news. What are you talking about?
Make it happen.
All right. Now, again, last week Kent Clark was going to introduce this guy, but we're going to do it anyway because this man deserves it. Like I said, real quick, I've known this dude, man, well over 15 years, though. Well over 15 years. This dude, like I said, gave us all the new meaning of giving somebody a shout out. Y'all might remember him from movies as A Get Together Past Due, or his movie slash form, I'm in Love with a Crackhead. If you didn't know that, go get that. That's hot. You just might have caught on Def Comedy Jam. You could have seen him on BET's Comic View. More than likely, you caught him on Bill's Belly, Who Got Jokes. Y'all put your hands together, stand up, give a shout out to my man, B. Cole in the building.
Y'all the studio laid out like that.
You put your foot to sleep after coming to an interview. That's
what I'm saying.
You got it all kind of like that.
That's made out of you and the people.
There you go.
I thought we can't say that.
Hey, seem like a criminal. Like, when I come over here, FBI agent.
I'm saying, law, hey, are we law enforcement show up?
They were here when I got here.
They heard.
No, they got you on track, bro. That's a bourbon kid.
Yeah, that's where they come from.
Right.
So, yeah, so I think it was that crackhead you was in love with. You came and got pulling on wires.
Yep. Hey, I got a woman, man. Nah, she's an alcoholic. So
okay. Oh, okay.
That.
Got you. Moving up,
sir.
Yes,
sir. Okay. If you break up with a crackhead, you can't just go to a sophisticated woman. You got a level.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, that's
crackhead,
true. That's true.
Alcoholic.
Got to graduate. Got to graduate.
No girl, doubt. No doubt.
Stuff like that. You know, right. What you gotta do.
Claiming
so,
the kid.
You can't go crackhead and dating them. That's cash. You can't. That's your
right, right.
Do that, man. They slapping people at McDonald's.
Yeah. So, half brother radio man, thank you for coming.
No doubt.
Greatly appreciate
it. I have nothing to do. I can't, you know.
I ain't nothing. So I thought I'd just spend it with y'all. That's crazy.
Maybe. Like that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, we would before the show, man. We had everything set up, man. We sitting there talking to him. I'm trying to make a picture. Hey, maybe you want to write a movie about two trying to do internet radio and yeah, we real professional. And then everything just fell apart.
And then
let's see what you got, man.
All right, we're gonna kick it off today. Real quick, one quick story and today, Brother Radio and Terrible Truth is brought to you by Bobber Stinks, Other Brother Lover Rubber. But when you doubt the brother, it's too damn good.
Also by Bob Stina's Dad Loans, in Green Ass Brown. Dial 1-800. She said no.
There you go.
Hey, man, you got unique sponsors around here. Who pay the bills?
Man, this is a basement, man. Something going on on the radio. I bet y'all gimp on the side of that.
Damn it. Don't pull a curtain.
Yeah, fluff is over there. Anyway.
Go ahead.
Parents need foil in car as they go to the club.
Well, there you go, because you didn't want her to see that. That's good parenting.
Of course. A couple is accused of leaving their four-year-old child in the car while at the Pandora Box Strip Club, Southwest Florida.
There we go. Good job,
Israel Rangel Ortiz and Edith Alagard Cordona.
Here we go.
Yes, sir. Let's do it. All right. Each charged with child neglect without great harm. You know they do that nowadays. The child was in the car for approximately an hour on Sunday at the Palatino Strip Club in Mantee, and Cook County Sheriff's Office reported deputies were called to the child was picked up by a separate family member. The suspects are being held in Mantee County Jail on $5,000 bond each.
They left the baby in the car.
Yeah. It's like a baby disease these days.
Yeah.
You know,
the man and the woman went to the strip club because both had to have that last dance.
Of course,
yeah, I got right. You, man. Make
it that one.
I got you. You know that, yeah.
Right.
Yep, like with some juice and some grand.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
You know the police. Down. The police interviewed the kid, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Kids.
I don't blame her. Big enough. That is where she's at.
You know how to pee.
That's what you know how to pee. I said that one time.
Yeah, they just said that. That's what I heard.
Let's get this straight. You got to find you big enough. You know how to pee. How old are you?
They in there getting lap dances and left me out. Maybe I wanted one.
Oh, Lord.
And they drinking a Corona.
There you go.
She's probably the getaway driver, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stick the place up.
Move the soccer ball and grab the wheel. That's the plan.
They'll show you how to do this, like your Bobby car.
Baby got old soul right there, man.
Yeah, whatever.
For real.
Full of tequila, right. Too.
That's another sponsor.
Sure.
Tony.
Oh. No.
Man accused of going to women's houses to drop off bags of pornographic magazines and dildos at their front door.
What's the problem here?
He's Santa Claus.
Yep.
There you go.
I can't say what I wanted
Sorry.
To say, but
what?
Go ahead.
Want me to say it again?
Yeah, I got to do it. I'm going to wrap my head around it.
There you go. He was
man accused of going to women's houses, dropping off bags of pornographic magazines and dildo at their front door.
And it, oh, a man yeah. was delivering this.
He was just picking them out, giving them gifts. Oklahoma City. Oklahoma County District Attorneys have charged a 41-year-old man with distribution of obscene material after two women said he left lewd toys and magazines at their front door.
What's the problem?
He's trying to outdo Santa.
Yep.
Right. Jemison Machete is accused of lewd acts at a Northwest Oklahoma City apartment complex. We just kept seeing remnants from where he was at in his footprints, and the items were just left at the door. The girls were actually scared, said Tana Brown, a patrol officer. Single women in the area are worried. They won't get a gift.
Whatever. Anyway.
So you mean they just walk out their front door and they like...
And there it is, yeah. Right.
They, like, if you ain't looking, you're going to trip over a penis. Right,
there you go,
your,
right.
On the pink doorstep.
Penis.
Right. And nobody see him dropping. He just dropped.
He just like Santa Claus. Hey,
what type
and
of
man? Been
more
a good
like,
lady.
That's more like a ninja.
Yeah,
a perverted ninja.
There you go. Saying,
but at the end of the day, what you are you have to go either you own this stuff already, or you're going to buy it.
Either way,
either way,
he likes to make people happy. I live by myself, so it's real creepy. It feels like you're violated, even though it didn't happen to me. Said Katie Bassett. Left out. Yeah, that sounds like hate right there. After a week of obscene materials were left on the doorknob, one woman found Machete close enough to her patio door to fog it up where he would be. She opened the door and he allegedly ran and jumped behind bushes. Another victim. Yeah, not that bush. The bush is outside. Another victim, 22-year-old woman, came home to her apartment on April 8th and found the materials hanging from her doorknob. When she looked inside, she found pornographic movies, magazines, and a sex toy. A few minutes later, the woman arrived home and seen him behind a door, and he said, "Oh, I know who left that there." And he said he described a mysterious brown man. Yes, that's what he said.
Wow.
A mysterious brown man.
Oh, Lord. This racism is killing me inside.
So, my man, you know who's leaving these? Right here? The dogs. Those are leaving these powerful, long-looking things in y'all. I don't know. It's just a couple dogs out there.
That is a mess.
Isn't that a mess? But that's why, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to give a package.
Yeah. So 818-5-4-2-0-2. If you got any comments, you got any stories, or if you want to ask a question of Mr. Cole, feel free to call on in and I'll give you a comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you be giving your stand up, man, how many weirdos have you ever found in the crowd?
Man, you find a lot of them, you know. Some always like to be, you know, get a lot of attention. They like. You know, be the joke on them, stuff like that, so they interrupt your show and just jump in and do all that, man.
Hoping you get them.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, man, I just like to, you know, just simple one call of security. They up out of there.
There you go.
Security.
And that's fair.
Yep. Big Mooch, do work. That's what you call them. You got a security card called Mooch.
That's his name, Mooch.
All right, we got to take a real quick, though, but we'll be right back with more Truth Brothers Radio. Be cold.
In that fashion.
All right.
Truth Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers Radio.
Leon St. James for Anaconda Malt Liquor.
With a delectable combination of the finest barley and hops, it's the only malt liquor that carries the seal of excellence from Uncle Sam himself. And when you pop the top, the panties drop.
Is that Anaconda malt liquor? The only malt liquor to be approved by the United States government?
That's right, Anaconda malt liquor.
Anaconda malt liquor.
Anaconda malt liquor, brewed in Piedmont, Georgia.
Truth Brothers Radio. Back to the listeners. We're jumping right back into the terrible truth. And I've got a story here about a man who has fathered 30 kids, three children.
Hold
and
on.
Now,
as in three,
yeah,
minus
one
Larry
after,
Bird, after three minus Larry Bird number.
10-4.
Okay.
You got
it. Baseball team.
Whatever. I thought it was less than. Oh, my bad. We hit Candace?
Every time.
I know, right? That's what he said.
Every time.
Another.
Well, anyway, the man who fathered 30 kids stated that he needs a break on child support.
Of course. Because who don't want a break and a half now?
He's tired of his share of $1.75.
There you go.
$1.75 a paycheck. He's tired
and
of
y'all
it.
Felt bad for the octomom. Anyway, Desmond Hatchett, age 33 of Knoxville, has 30 children with 11 different women.
Ooh.
State already makes half his paycheck and divides it up, which doesn't amount to much when Hatchett is only making minimum wage.
Of course.
There you go. There
Some
you
of the
go.
Moms receive as little as $1.39 a month.
That
yep, that's the mother with the 30th child.
The first one was up to a whopping $5.
There you go.
The oldest child is 14.
God.
There you go.
14.
Out of 30 kids?
Out of 30. What the? Yeah.
So he was popping like 4 years.
Oh, dude.
7 a year.
Dude, he's potent. He's lethal. He shook a hand and got a girl.
There you go.
How you doing, baby?
Man. Huh?
See you soon.
He need to be an X-Man.
That's right.
That's an ability.
Right.
Right.
The multiplier.
But y'all, check this out. Gentleman explains how he reached such a critical mass. He has 4 kids in the same year, twice.
Well, that's 8.
Yeah, well, that's 8. We still coming short.
That's 8.
30 is a long way from 8.
I'm like, that's what you eat. You
how many?
Too much of the game.
What?
Oh, man, I had a bad year, man. I got 8.
Wow.
Man.
That's,
he makes Sean deep. Kemp responsible.
Whatever.
Back in 2009, when Hatchett was in court to answer charges that many of the mothers were not receiving child support, he had 21 children.
Well, there you go.
That's enough to take over Haiti, man. That's like
that was 3 years ago.
Yeah,
that was 3 years ago. So you had 9 kids.
He put in work.
A man of 3 years.
Wow. He put in work.
We want to really that work.
He put in.
My thing is, I'm scared. I might know somebody that he's hit, and
that's the scary part.
Yeah, I better
probably keep a message on his.
Well,
we got a call. Hold on. 815, you on with your brothers. What comment?
Hey, I really like your commercial for the Anaconda malt liquor.
Yeah,
I thought another thing would be really funny is if you came up with like a gardener snake like beer.
All right.
Hey.
Okay, let's hear your jingle for it.
Oh, man, I don't sing, man. I just like the, end of kind of thing, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we sing, like, you know, some people get like a little gardener snake and they like the right beer.
There you go.
We call it white man malt liquor.
Nah, we got one called black snake home.
Yeah, well, you know, some of us are going to be drinking some red stripe real soon, man.
There you go. All right.
What's your name, caller? Caller?
Uh-oh. What's your name?
Hello?
What's your name?
My name is Bill.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all being silly tonight, so I thought I'd be silly too.
Hey, you know, that's right. Got two. Got legendary.
Very silly Bill.
Yeah.
Silly Billy. That's you.
We got legendary.
Yeah, man. No. Yeah. No, I'm just listening to y'all. We got a good connection tonight, so. And y'all
yeah,
being silly,
yeah, oh,
and I still like that Anaconda thing, you know. So I thought I would go completely opposite.
I like
not
that.
That
I know what
that,
Bill, all
not
you
that
gotta
I'm
do.
That category, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
All you gotta do, Bill, is I got. Here we go. I got. I'm nice today. Devon's gonna be nice. All you gotta do, Bill, into your ninja mode and just start dropping dildos at people's houses. I promise you, you'll get a reaction real soon. That's what's happening.
Oh,
that's what they're doing.
Yo, man.
That's right.
Me clear, man. Yeah.
But, Bill, don't feel bad about Chatter Snake, though. Remember, paper cuts.
Wait. This is not a reflection of me. All right, am I saying? Okay.
Right.
I just thought it was like the opposite, like, you know, light, dark. You know,
exactly.
Or, you know, sun and the moon or whatever.
Silly Billy.
Bill brings it. Don't knock the man, Bill. Hey, you keep putting it in, Bill. Wait till you hear our second commercial. It's a public service announcement.
All right, Bill. Thanks for calling, Bill.
All right. Yeah.
All
right.
Bill. Hey, man, even a worm get ate by a fish. Let's talk about it. That's what we do. Okay.
30 kids. Huh?
Yes.
That's how we do.
That's hey. You know what? He's probably a responsible father. He's probably better than this one. Check this out,
really quick.
I got it.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, compared to this dude,
his dude first.
No.
Father.
Okay. Now, time. I got something to say about that. How can you be a responsible parent?
Uh-huh.
Let's really look at this. How can you be a responsible parent having 30 kids? At what point you work a minimum wage job? How can you act? No.
There you go. Yep, here we go.
No, I'm sorry. I'm feeling some kind of way about it.
Hey, man. Look. Not really. No, I'm playing. I'm being.
But for those who may have that in mind.
Trust me.
But if he's fathered 30 kids within a 15-year span, there's something wrong with that.
What about the women's
McDonald's? Well, I'm not justifying them because, I mean, at some point, you have to figure out he's got a good
point,
number
right,
of kids.
Right, exactly.
But,
that girl with the 30th child, she couldn't be like, wait, now you got how many, 29 kids?
Right.
You're going to do this one different.
I mean, at some point when he tried to take her out, the check, work at the cost, but you should be doing better than this.
Right? I mean, as a man, and maybe you men can answer this for me, how would you feel knowing that you're – out of child support, you're giving one of the mothers of your children $1.50 to support your kid.
Hey, that's what the court said.
$1.50.
Court said, hey.
That's some ifs.
We don't want to go there.
We'll make that another show.
If you do direct up 30 kids, you're really not worrying about what's in hand to a kid. The 30th of kid and the hand me down.
Christmas is probably easy.
Yeah.
Just open. No, you just get a whole bag
of
Army Man. Put it out one for everybody.
There you
go. You get the, your best. So you get Sniper. There you go.
Right.
Dollar store, man. But anyway, like I said, he's probably better than this one. Father stashes weed in son's book bag.
There we go.
Yeah, it happens. It's real life out here.
Oh, man. He ate his son cool. Son is man.
Check this out, though, real quick. A 6-year-old showed up at the Campbell Park Elementary Marine Science Center on Tuesday with more than 3 ounces of marijuana on and a scale in the backpack. Boy, say, look what I got. The kindergarten told
me what I can do.
Let me show y'all how to get high. First off, you're puffing pads. You're liable to get slapped with more lunch. The drugs belong to child's father, Rick Cornelius Stevens, who later that day was arrested on charges of child abuse and possession of marijuana with intent to sell, according to the St. Petersburg police. We think he claimed responsibility, so that we knew it did not belong to his child. You think? Stevens, 25, was booked in the county jail where he was being held late Tuesday in lieu of $15,000 bail. Records show he has an extensive arrest, though, that includes numerous drug charges, domestic battery, and carrying a
concealed the weapon. He's also done 2 stints in prison. He 25? Okay, my man.
He's a veteran.
According to state's records, in 2002, since 19 months possession of scale of a possession sale of cocaine, 72 days before his arrest Tuesday.
Ah.
According to the Stevens put the drugs on the scale in the child's book bag and dropped the child off in the school or at the school. About 10 minutes later, police said the child discovered that what was his backpack and showed it to the teacher. Then the principal called the police. A short time later, Stevens returned to the campus to get his drugs back, but the marijuana had already been confiscated.
Well, there you go.
Stevens told someone at the school that he needed to get the marijuana back because he needed to, quote unquote, take care of his business and take care of his family. According
well, there you go. It was a bit. Yeah, I lost the proposal to the boss. I lost the proposal. He's a regular
How
Brady.
How old is this baby?
The baby's in kindergarten. And real quick, Stevens did not tell the police why he put this is the last part. Stevens did not tell the police why he put drugs in the child's back. It's unclear whether he intended to do it or did it accidentally.
Yeah. That's why you don't get
high.
Exactly. Like you put the drugs into the black bag, not the Power Rangers bag. What was you thinking, bro? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because he had a book bag just like his son. That's what it was.
That's what's happening now.
Right.
But $25?
Hey, my son got Leonardo. I had Donatello. I got confused.
Right. That blue and purple hard.
There you
and
go.
Especially at night when you're ducking law.
Right.
If somebody got to take the rap, I'll be, hey, you're not going to put the kid in jail.
He's right. He's young enough, and he don't know how to pee.
But he called it. He called the school to get the drugs back.
Oh, yeah.
They say he went up to school and was like, hey, you know what?
I need to see my son for a minute. No, yeah, he got something of mine.
Yeah.
Look, hey, I'm going to take the rap for it. I don't want him to go to jail because he's 5.
Right. Wow.
Like, he went up to somebody, let me 3-pound about you.
If he was smart, he could have attended them PTA meetings and passed out all to all the parents.
There you go. Right.
Right.
The money is right there.
Right. Like, you
your
know
business
what?
Is within the school, brother.
My daddy showed me how to put things on the scale and add it up.
Right. He over there with pays out like, you know what? Tiffany has done it for the last time. I am not about the.
I'll be damned if she don't pick me for Duck Goose anymore.
Right. Know what, America?
Yeah,
I'm just tired.
I don't know the math. You know, take one more off this J, and then I'm gonna show you math.
I got my math for you. My math will be backhand his hand.
There you go.
A kilo is 1,000 grams.
818-514-1200.
I'm tired.
Yep. So
that's what we had though, man. That's what's crazy about school. This was crazy to me though. Like real quick, as I scratch my nose, the fact that. The kid was able to get into the school with the marijuana. Like
well,
you
what
don't
do you mean?
Feel
it's in his bag.
No. What I'm saying is he has a sale in there, and the kid say he didn't. Well, from what I read, he didn't know until
kid is used to books. It felt like his books.
What book are you getting at kindergarten? You know, largest.
Yeah,
book
how you
he
doing?
Is,
color.
Right.
Well, he was a bit of a crime,
and that's the problem. Kids need to have books. The kids are not even reading these days. They know about. The marijuana, the drugs, the scale.
And
the
they
numbers,
do.
More
right.
than a book. Give a kid a book. You have to read. He'd be like, that's an ounce up on a dime. Like, no one would say upon a time. Why don't you learn how to read and try to do all this street math and drugs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got to get our kid more into reading into the books, the whole nine and everything, man. Because kids know everything about everything outside of school.
Yeah.
Perfection, you know, just experts with it. But, you know, inside the school, you know, it's not getting enough education.
A lot of these kids are disenchanted, too. I mean, you know, it's not enough. You know, teachers are being paid, you know, for the brunt of the work they have to take on.
So
you know, they got to be parents. They got to be educators.
You think it's a lack of enthusiasm on the teacher's part?
Absolutely.
Like,
I mean,
yeah.
Well, let's think about it like this. Let's just say a typical regular public school, 9 months out of the school year. You get kids that you see hundreds of kids a day as you change classes.
Right.
You see all of this. You got a myriad of different attitudes every single day. You got the kid who don't get home. You got your straight A student who don't get you no problem. You got the one that's got emotional issues over here. So you're running the gamut of different issues going on. And you're not, you know, you're trying to put yourself there and that drains you. You know, you're going through all these different things. You're not being compensated for it.
Oh, but
I'm going to get my soapbox so we can take a break. We will be back in a few minutes.
Candace cares.
And she does. True Brothers Radio.
You know how we do. Rockefeller. Forever.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Catch me skating through your town, putting it down. Y'all relating? No waiting, I'll make your block infrared hot. I'm like Satan. Y'all feel a nigga struggle? Y'all think a nigga luddle? Hustle behind the wheel, trying to escape my trouble. Can't stop the greeting me. I'm talking sweet the keys, cursing the very.
If you ask me, Trey Songz is the best singer in the world.
Girl, have you heard Chris Brown?
Thank you. Okay, whatever. All he talking about is strippers, money, slapping girls, and Lamborghinis.
But he talking about sexual activities.
Okay, but who look better?
Chris Brown.
Whatever.
No. What about Justin Bieber?
He's gay.
Exactly.
That's not right, girls.
Wow, it's Yvonne from Truth Brothers Radio.
My mom hates him.
That's right. And using words like gay to insult someone is socially wrong and offensive. Use words like poop booty, skittle bag, wrist down, lady boys, fairies, sweetness, drag queens, switch hitters, ass burglars, white beards, something like that.
Thanks, Avon. Now we know.
And knowing will keep y'all asses out the liquor store. Two fingers.
Being here in America doesn't make you an American. Being born here in America doesn't make you an American. White birth made you American. You wouldn't need any legislation. You wouldn't need any amendments to the Constitution. I don't see any American dream. I see an American nightmare. I'm one of the 42 million black people who are the victims of America.
Hard truth soldiering. Shit. Two Brothers Radio, and we're back. How'd you like that public service announcement?
But choosing gay is wrong.
It is wrong.
It's offensive.
So you got options now. But yeah, 1-8-1-4-1-0-2. Yeah, have you ever been asked to do a public service announcement?
You know what? I haven't. But you know, I do go to the schools. I do talk to the kids. To get back on that subject, you know, because I see a little bit of that all the time I go. And like these schools, and I got metal detectors up there, man. And then what makes it worse, the teachers and the staff, like you say, they kind of disenchanted or afraid of the kids. As soon as I walk into school, principal stop me. Hey, you got a gun? I'm like, oh. and he like, here, take mine. You're going to need it. You know, it's like that. I mean, the teacher's packing in school. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, that's why it's called behind that desk, though. I'm dead serious, man. Here's what I'm saying. I couldn't be a teacher.
No, I couldn't either.
Like,
and I went to school to be a teacher, and I just changed my mind. I was like, nah. And I definitely wouldn't teach high school. It's nothing that I could
teach high school. Now, I could teach high school if you let me touch the kids. Not touch them like that. Well,
that's
but
my, yeah.
I mean,
that's called Catholic school.
Right. I mean, I don't mean touch them like, hey.
That's Father Flanagan. All right.
Who wants to say
that?
I don't want to handle easy A's in here. That's what I'm saying. I'd rather just, like, if I'm able to punch a kid in the chest if he's 18, then cool, I can teach.
Right.
Yeah, it's no problem.
But so, okay, everyone here is a parent. I mean, do y'all work up a relationship with your teachers when you take your kid up to school?
Yeah. You got to.
That's important, man. Communication.
Yeah.
And got to keep that open with the teachers and stuff like
right.
that. Because, I mean, nowadays, man, it's like, you know, teachers, you know, can't even do much they did back in the day with us. I mean, like, teachers used to, man, bend us over and hit us with paddles. And then if something did go wrong at school, your mama asking you, what did you do wrong?
Right. Now, you had that backup.
Now it's like, yeah, the teacher now is like the aggressor, oppose certain cases, like where, you know, if the child come home complaining, you hitting the teacher right away, like, you, this is my child, you can't do this to my
right.
child.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, real quick. Do you think that's because of the age of the parents? Not like, as time goes on,
yeah.
parents are getting younger. Yeah. So it may, is it because of the age?
Yeah. Remember when you were younger, like 19, 18, and you still could identify as being an adolescent or being a kid more than you can identify with it when you're 30, 35.
Mm-hmm.
So right. When you're that young, you still identify with what it's like to be a kid and how unfair the world felt for you.
True.
And that's why you're so defensive about your kid.
For a good portion of that, I agree with. You know, I'm a young mother myself. I can't say I think like that. But, you know, I think what it is not enough parents have a good, strong connection with their kids. And I say that because if, you know, let me kind of recant that a little bit. I won't say they don't have a good relationship with their kids, but they don't want to own up to the things that kids do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that to say, you know, doggone well, your kids at home disrespect you. You got to yell at Johnny 3-4 times to wash the dishes, to do this, that, and the other. The moment someone else tells you about your kid, you know, it's like a reflection on you, and you automatically get defensive.
All right, well, I got a question. When you you going up there, let's go and see a kid, or you going to the bank for a loan, and they say, oh, God, that's me. How many people try to give you jokes and try to form for you to make the comedian laugh?
It do. It be auditions, dude. It be real. Like, anywhere I can go to the bank, grocery store, schools. It's like that. I mean, every try to impress you, man. With like, even if they're trying to be direct, like you, like, you know, do this joke, try to like joke and see if you notice, and like they
right.
look at the side of the eye, see if you're looking and stuff. Like, did he get it? Yeah. And it kind of get annoying a little bit, man. But you know, sometimes people be out there, they're pretty funny, man. You know what I'm saying? They be pretty funny, but yeah, you know, it kind of get annoying because like off stage is all, I'm off work. You know,
right. I feel that.
You know, when I go get on stage, just like punch the clock, get on, do my thing. But once I'm done, man. I'm back to regular.
So you don't, so you don't enjoy the whole somebody's coming up to you, hey, man, you be cool. And
no, I appreciate that because, you know, and they acknowledging me and my work and all that. That's great. But, you know, when cats be coming like, man, dude, I got this idea for a movie. And they sit down and they want to discuss the whole movie from beginning to end. In the beginning, I started out being nice, man, but I seem like I gave people too much of my time to do that. And he'd be like, man, dude, it's like, and then at the end of the day, you kind of like, you know, it's an okay idea and it's not that good.
Right.
I'm wasting my time.
So you ain't trying to take care of business and he in there. Well, you know what,
man?
And then the pimp got a glass leg. Got a glass leg. And now by this time, your fries old.
Yeah, that is. I mean, so I tell people, man, email it, man. Email it to me. They're like, email address, man. Just email it, man.
Right.
just put out there in the email it, email universe, and it's going to get to me.
Trust me. If it's good.
And it's good. Just, all right, I'm going to go home and do it now.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that right now.
Okay. Well, you've been working on an album, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And
a comedy album.
Why don't you tell us a bit about the album?
Well, man, I got a comedy album coming out. It's not even titled yet. I'm not sure what the title is going to be, but I've been in the studio lately just working some music. You know, it's songs and comical songs that sounds good, you know. Like,
right.
You know, still give you that little feel that you listen to a song, but, you know, the concept and the lyrics and stuff of it is comedy. And with that, I do songs that's inspired from my stand-up routine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because,
okay.
like my first single that's going to be released with you all about to play exclusively on True Brother Radio,
right.
No other place is getting this.
Y'all hit it?
That's
yeah.
What's up.
Did y'all hit that?
Let's hit one more game, Fabi.
Yes,
one more
yes.
game.
The exclusive single with a Z
exclusive.
I mean, y'all got it, man. And, this will be the first time it's ever played out of the studio, so I hope people like it. But I have other songs like inspired from my stand up routine, you know, and
keep them on the hush. You gonna let the people know.
Yeah, I got another single. The single you all gonna play is called In My Mom's Basement, which is is a funny tune, and every woman know about them type of cats, you know. So
yeah.
You see them cats all the time. And
818-514-1202. When we play this song and you can relate to it, we want you to get a try. Brothers a call.
Yeah.
And tell B. Cole what you think.
And on top of that, it's going to be a special. We got a little hidden thing we're going to throw out at the end of that about exclusive things about, because B is going to eventually start shooting a video for this.
Yes, sir.
And we're gonna give you all of that, a little bit more information on how you possibly could be involved in that. So
yeah.
That's at least what he's saying.
Yeah.
Gonna be like email your bra size and then we
shut up.
So okay, so let's go ahead and get the song called In My Mama's Basement.
My Mama's Basement.
This is the dude with 30 kids. Oh, he's singing that. He gonna put this in his car.
My garage carport.
Right. So here we go.
Exclusive.
My mama's basement, all my money spent. Then we had a car outside. Can't pay this much rent. Let's take a stroll down these stairs. On your tippy toes, I don't need stairs. For mama, she's asking for rent. My car outside is where the money went. Come to my bedroom in the basement. Watch the last step, no replacement. Light my area, don't be shy. Don't cross the duct tape, that's my brother's side. We'll go to a place that's on fire. Let's get it in by the washer and dryer. Sip on my saddle from paper cups. Take six bottles to get us
fucked up. She's
be the shit, and she can see. Now I ain't shit, and you're with me. Thought I was a baller in VIP, but I paid 20 G's just to hang with Jay-Z. Duh. In my mama's basement, all my money's spent. Fanny and the car outside, can't pay this much rent. Made it rain in the club, you lost your mind. Saw my car outside, you lost your mind. Shawty on the radio, is it a crime? Tip valet, you lost your mind. All of a sudden you wanna know where I'm going. You kiss me on the cheek, something go boing. Let's go to my place first, let's eat. Need more time for mama to sleep. So order what you want from the menu. Ding, you continue what you intend to do. When you get back to my venue, code for mama's basement, that's what men do. Spend all my money on pretty women. If I had my own place, I'll be driving the lemon. Then I can't get you from the club to my crib, so I'll fool you with the car just to drive you where I live. Hey, in my mama's basement, all my money. Helps me score. Posing on the couch in a furniture store. Keep on front till I get mine. Stand in mama's house, not paying a dime. I'll spend loot on a model or actress. Take her to the basement, air mattress. Do it all night long, we won't stop. Do it all night till the bed go pop. Your mama come down to wash and load. Keep getting down, bust my load. I won't stop till I get mine. After tonight, it won't be a next time. Chicks don't come back for round two at mom's house. Man, I'm 32. Like Jay-Z say, on to the next. There's a ball at the mall writing out bad checks. Yep. In my mama's basement, all my money.
World premiere of my man B. Cole right here, and the first one of the, what's this, your first single? Or you
the think, first single, man. My mama's basement. I got another single called Put It On Broil.
Oh, okay.
Put It On Broil.
Yeah, it's just like you know my routine. It's actually called Put It On Broil B. You know. But it's about women who always come over your crib. Women just got a habit of just being cold all the time. all the
time. I mean, and you got
shut up.
And you know,
shut up.
You run your heat up on 80.
Yeah.
You running your heat up on 80.
I just got the blankets.
She got all your blankets. She got the coats on and sweater, and she still asks you to turn the heat up or asking, do you have a fireplace? And you know, so the whole point of this, I don't have a fireplace. What you can do.
Put the oven on broil.
Open up the oven and put it on broil. That's going to bring
it. Hold on. That will be brought to you by Candace Comforters.
Really?
That will be brought to you by Candace Comforters.
Candace, can I start a show without that comforter?
Damn it, it's cold.
That's just man.
Well, I'll call the line. Nah, shut up.
So that's the second sequel.
Yes, I like that. Hey, you gonna have to, when you get that, man, bring it through. I want to hear that. I'm dead.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, okay. So now, if you want to be in the video of my mama's basement, what do you got to do?
Well, the thing is, I'm just looking for a few lead girls because like each is three verses, so I want to have like a lead female each verse of the song and. Then I need some people for the party scene. So we're gonna use Factory Gentlemen's Club right on Dolby Road.
Okay. Oh, right now.
Okay.
Miami versus Brazil. I'm with it.
Oh, yeah. So, you be reading my keys when you pass, huh? So the thing is, so I'm doing the club scene, indoor of the club and the outdoor scene of the club. So I just need some bodies around.
Because we've already been accused of being bouncers. So.
Okay. Yeah.
We've already been accused of being.
Oh, that's a
stop. Yeah. Air mattress pop. What?
There it is.
No. Air mattress.
Oh. Okay. All right.
But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, man. Well, how about this, man? If you guys or anybody is interested in being part of the B-Code situation, shoot us your information. Shoot us a headshot or a body shot or whatever. No Facebook bathroom pictures,
right.
Please.
Right.
At our website at OneTruth, and Truth is TRUF at ATT.net. And we will filter everything and forward it to. But we got a caller. 352, you're on with Truth Brothers. What name?
Hello? You're on with Truth Brothers, 352. All right.
Yes. How y'all doing?
Yeah.
Oh,
this is going, yeah. What's going on, man? What's your name?
What's going on? Do you have a van in front of your house right now that looks like it's delivering Dunkin' Donuts? That's the CIA or the FBI or the ATF.
I've heard about
Dunkin' Donuts.
What happened Monday.
Dunkin' Donuts
going super,
I'll tell you. So how you doing tonight?
Yeah, what's your name?
Brother from the Backwoods.
That's you are
from the Backwoods.
Yeah, he called us episode 3 and called the show.
Yeah,
so how you doing,
man?
I'm doing fine, Governor Money. I was AA, and I tell you what, AA, hand me another mirror after that shit. Okay, you.
As a matter of fact, I just told you about, we were accused of being bouncers. This caller happened to call us that time and said we look like bouncers.
Except for that sweet Candace.
Yeah. Two brothers and a woman. Governor Money.
Get your hands off that, Bubba.
Keep your hand away from your thigh. Get your hand out your inner thigh.
Now, listen. She says turf hurts, and the brother in the center says, got turf, and the other one says, oh, got turf, too. Killed her money. Hooked on phonics. I don't know. You picked up the law.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So how your show doing, man?
My show or your show?
Your show. Because the first time he called, he brought up his show, Ghetto Government Radio, but he was calling our show Ghetto Government Radio, and there was a misunderstanding. But he's featured on. So how's that show going, man?
It's doing wonderful. I'll tell you, everybody's sitting here down in the five police cars doing a 911 call, Ghetto Money. They handcuffed me to tell me to put my hands on the wall and spread my cheeks. If I do that, I'll bang my head on the wall.
security money.
Okay,
I don't know.
Wait, we'll go. Hey,
stop walking around with trench coats, nothing underneath.
Not a good look. No.
You got it.
All right, Bubba. Thanks for calling, man.
We love you, Bubba.
That's right.
Bye-bye, Bubba. Get your show. Look, my thing about it is, man, real quick, like I was saying before, we got trolled. B. Cole is in the building.
Damn.
And we'll definitely, like I said, if you guys are interested, hit us up. At our email, wewanttruth@att.net. And I guess we got another caller coming in.
We got him. Hold on. Hold tight.
Well, I thought Bubba was going to be in the video, man.
Bubba
didn't call for the video.
Nah. 312, you want the truth, brothers. What's your name?
Hello, this is Tiffany.
Hey, how you doing, Tiffany?
Tiffany.
I'm good. I just wanted to call in and say, baby, you sound so good on the radio.
All right. Hey. Sorry, I'm a huge fan. I gotta say that. I am a huge. Is this who I think it is?
Yes, it is. How you guys doing?
Dude, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. I don't know, man. Hey, just
thank you.
I know, because can I say Marquita? Can I say that?
Of course you can.
Oh, man.
Marquita Perry.
Oh, I swear to God. I'm starstruck right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sorry. I just had to put that out there.
No worries. I'm so glad. Thank you for the support. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Wait.
Yeah. Your man sounds good on the radio, don't he?
He sure does.
We're going to have to get him out here.
What was that last caller, though?
Oh, Bubba, he's a true brother. He's in the true brother family. I can't explain
that.
Bubba
eats baby worms. So you gotta watch what he does. You really gotta watch what Bubba do in certain times. Like, you know, you never know. He really don't take his medicine. Like, Bubba
tends to. That was obvious.
He takes at home by that type of problem.
There
he's having. So it's different things. But
right.
Yeah, I just have to put that out there. I'm sorry. Am I interrupting? You gotta keep going.
Yeah, you gotta keep it.
All right, Jeff. Well, good hearing voice.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. That's my cue to go. Baby, enjoy the rest of your show.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, dear.
All right. That's pretty good.
That's dope.
I like how he said,
All right. It'll work.
There you go.
Oh, man.
She always prizes.
You got that Carmelo look on your face.
You got me over there turning red.
Yeah, that New York Knick look. Anyway. Yeah, like we were saying, man. Get into it. Hey, we need y'all to get into it. But like we speak, Cole is in the building. We got him for another hour or so. We're going to keep him here, have him do what he do best, and that's entertain. And but what other ventures you getting into, man, outside of doing your update comedy hour?
Man, I got a nice number of things. Another movie that I got that I'm shopping in. Create a buzz in Hollywood, man, of a screenplay that wrote called The Slapbox King. Very funny movie. It's about slapboxing. It's X-Men meet Fight Club, you know.
There you go.
It's a character-driven screenplay, man.
You need a big, angry brother.
Yeah, right.
Bald head.
I need a lot of them guys, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. But it's good. We got my man Lester Spade. He's attached on the script. Lester Spade is the guy who... He used to play on My Wife and Kids, Big Swole Dude.
Oh, yeah,
right.
I think talking about he was in Norbit and all that. Yeah.
Norbit, and he was in The Last Transformer,
right.
Diaries and
right.
Stuff like that.
Oh,
so
okay. Well, you already got a big ball.
Right. He's on the play on. Then I got my man Craig Robinson from the Office, the show Office, and he played on Tub Time Machine and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then Bo King Woodbine is on board.
Oh,
as well.
Dude. No eyebrow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's...
I don't know what he's trying to tell you. I don't know.
Hey, look, if you're listening, don't take my personal comment. B on the building. When B's here, yeah, I got you. Because who didn't like the movie with the tarot cards?
God, Jason
Jason Lyrics is when Tretch ran the saw against the stick. And,
yeah,
okay.
Caught up was the joint. And he was, you gonna get me out of here. Hey, okay. I know your ways, of course. I need to know where you're at right now. Yeah. Hey, look, don't take it personal, Bokeh. This is just, you know, this. The opinions
everybody
and views of True Brothers Radio are not those of B. Cole. Let's just put that out there. That's
all right.
Disclaimer.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like I said, man, they so that script is moving on. Then, like I said, working on Get Together 2, the sequel.
Yeah, I got to see.
Okay.
My favorite. I don't mean to cut you off though.
Yeah.
My favorite scene of the Get Together, right? It's a scene. Dude pulls up with the white girl, right? Just had to say he's at the door, right? Rings the bell. Beep, boom. Say, don't worry. I can't say what he said. But he was like, yeah, you're good later on in the day. Don't know. Be cool. It's going to happen. It's like, that's one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
Man, it's a lot of good scenes. But, man, people got their favorites on it, man. I'm just interested in doing another one. And, you know, because they're asking for it and stuff like that.
Right.
Doing a screenplay right now.
So they
like creative side of the board.
I love the creative side. That's my stick right there. That's what
that's
I do.
That's the side. That's the side.
So, yeah, so definitely. I mean, that, man, I got another screenplay called Black and White Man, Chinese Man. You know, that's
all into the bar, man.
Jokes back in the day, man.
Right.
It's a good movie where these three guys from different cultures meet up and they get called up and they gotta, you know, go on this big picture and stuff.
Okay,
and
right.
So
I like that premise.
Funny,
that's
man.
What's up.
Yeah, it's a funny
right.
movie, man.
No Jew?
What? God.
Well, you want the movie fine.
Black man,
got...
white man, Chinese man. Lawnmower man. Anyway.
But yeah, man, so, I mean, I'm having fun, man. Just doing what I'm doing, just trying to just get everything going, ready to come out with the stuff I got.
So, I mean, let me ask you a question real fast, though. If you had to choose between doing stand-up and writing, which one would you choose?
Man, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's like asking, which child you love the most?
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know.
For water.
I mean,
right.
I don't know, but, I mean, I like both. Both
helped you.
It's hand in hand, you know what I'm saying? As I write for the stage a lot, so, and I love performing it, too, as well, but I don't know. I get a kick out of both, but I really love sitting down writing screenplays, man, because I get to go into a whole world of imagination.
Yeah, and you like acting too, because you're in a movie too. But we gonna get all into that on the second half of True Brothers in hour two.
All right.
If anybody else got any more questions, B. Cole, feel free to call in. We'll get to our topic that we was gonna have for Monday, reality shows.
Whatever.
Matter of fact, that's the reality of being in show business. Since guy.
A show
in
hand. Man,
there you go. So we're going to jump in all of that on the second half of Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Hey, yo. Word, downtown, Southside, worldwide. Cause I rep that till I fucking die. One neck, two chains, one way, two jet. One wall, 20 plaques, dude say, give me that. I am limelight, blueprint, five mics. Go get it, rhyme like, should have been signed twice. Most imitated, Grammy nominated, hotel accommodated, cheerleader prom dated, mom and shop player hated, mom and pop bootlegged it. Feel like it rained to the roof caved in. Two words, shot town, raised.
Truth Brothers Radio.
We have a flat tire.
How do I tie a bow tie again?
What's the fastest way to Hartford Hospital?
Tell my wife I'm going to be 30 minutes late.
Tell my husband I'm not surprised.
Tell my wife if she has a problem with my work schedule, she's more than welcome to get a job of her own.
Tell my husband that I do just as much work as he does.
Tell my wife that if watching Ellen is a job, she should get a promotion.
Message from your husband. I appreciate you.
Bullshit. What did he actually say?
Please don't drag me into this.
Siri, call my husband.
Siri, ignore the call from my bitch wife.
Tell my husband that he said he'd respect my choice to stay at home with our child.
Tell my wife I would, but she can't even get around to washing his overalls.
Did you want me to search for a flower shop nearby?
Tell my husband that at least when I sit on the washing machine, I come.
Send my wife this picture and ask her if the washing machine is
the only thing you've been sitting on lately. Oh dear.
Ask my husband what he means by that.
Tell my wife I think she knows.
Hey, look. I googled anger management technique.
Tell my husband to think very carefully before he says whatever he's about to say.
Ask my wife
if she's fucking Jim McPherson.
Tell my husband, how dare he?
Tell my wife that's not an answer.
Is it my fault?
Tell my husband that I will not answer that.
Ask my wife if she's fucking Jim McPherson.
Searching for a place to hide.
Tell my husband he wishes it was just Jim McPherson.
I don't want to.
Tell him.
Please don't make me.
Do it.
Send my wife directions to hell.
Say goodbye to the most amazing iPhone yet.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Welcome to second hour of Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 1-800-514-1202. I'm Ray.
And I'm Vaughn.
And we are the Truth Brothers.
And as always, you can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And you guys already know I'm in the chat room and Facebook, Twitter, straight multitasking here.
We have a special guest for the night, legendary Chicago comedian B. Cole in the building.
I'm still here, not going nowhere.
All right.
There you go.
That's what's happening, man. Appreciate it. But again, gotta say appreciation and gratitude for
that's
stopping
right
through, man. Dropping the brand new single to the comedy joint in my mama's basement,
man.
Yeah, well, stuff piping a bad thing to look at night. Get that out there. Pipes ain't a bad thing to look at night, man.
Oh,
you know? She told
dear
me she liked the view.
Oh wow.
Feeling about a wash and dry.
Yeah, you know. Hey, at least when she sit on the washing machine.
Hey.
All right,
Jim McPherson. There we go.
McPherson washes. But anyway.
And this second hour of Truth Brothers is being brought to you by Rosie O'Donnell Front Hole Panties. Sitters are quitters by Rosie.
Oh, man. It's also brought to you by Pee Wee Herman's House of Poultry. Chicken so good you would not choke it. But
our sponsors, man.
Hey, man.
Radio was a rough business, man. That's how, we get the bill.
We got to do what we got to do.
Hey, man. I love it, man. I love it.
I'm a fan, trust me. I'm saying it keeps the people back.
Hilarious.
Oh, Mike had to go with Anthony Hamilton beard picks or something like that.
I love you, Anthony Hamilton.
Really?
Yeah. What?
Coming from where I'm from.
What? Love it. Well, I'm just
right
saying his music.
I got you. Got
yeah.
It was Seal. Then it was the Old Spice guy.
I said Seal looked nice from the neck down. Let us be clear about
B,
that.
B, what's happening, man? What's up with Seal, man?
Man, I like his music.
Love his music.
But you know what though? The women look past all that, man. Because like as a singer, hey, you know, that's always been known, man. Singers,
yeah.
you can be ugly.
Because
back in the day, it was a lot of ugly singers back in the day. Like,
yeah.
You know,
we caught good
whoop
ass.
Yeah, we.
And like we was talking the other day, how like these new singers, they so handsome now and stuff like that, and all cute with the baby head on the side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, back in the day, you got Teddy Pendergrass.
Right. These guys are too soft nowadays.
Teddy looked, but Teddy Taz was.
We had a conversation about that at work.
Yeah. About Teddy.
I just had a question though. Like, you know,
wheelchair Teddy or not wheelchair Teddy?
Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it matters. I bet it's white kid. But, well, my bad. Or
anyway.
Loot the pants off kid. Either one.
Right.
We'll go there. But, see, the thing about it is, though, man, I totally agree with you. I don't know why we're here, but I agree with
you on about the things, man, because to me, you got all the new singers out now that got so much swag and everything that it just takes away from what they actually don't have talent for.
Right.
You come into the machine singing.
Yeah, with the, on the machine and it's all dancing.
They models. Right.
Right.
They modeling. But, you know, back in the day, dude, it was like if you had a voice, I think that's good with any talent. Women find you sexy if you good at anything you do. You got funny comedians out here who like not attractive, but women find them. You
seen a couple? Who? You seen a couple?
Oh, man, I work with them all the time. Work with a lot of comedians, but you know, yeah. But I mean, but you just surprised how the women just drawn to them, man. You know, so but
yeah.
it's that talent.
That's no way how it goes. What you think about? See you. Man, that was some nice socks he got on. That was a nice.
Nah.
Wish I could wear them. Are those beats by Dre he got on his ear?
Hey, y'all going to make Candace mad by
trust me.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's like
she
that.
Set the
That's
show
just...
down before.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I just still don't.
But he's an artist, though. I'm sorry. You know, I'm going to delve on his music box just for a second. He's an artist. Music is a commodity now. Nobody puts their heart and soul into music no more. It's the same beat. You're the same, but you're just looping it over and over, and it's garbage. I will load my iPod up with anything from 86 to about 96. And
go.
I'm good with that.
So let me ask you, in the comedy game, Is it a lot of people out there just sharing the same jokes or coming or they just like up there? Hey, Michelle is
yeah.
I was peeing and you know
and
it's brown.
Right. Some comics get up, man. I wouldn't even call them comedians. Some people get up there and just, I mean, you know, talking about sex is easy. Man. You know, about that's easy talk. You know, you know, I respect the comedians who challenge a person's mind, man, make you think and stuff
right.
like that. You know, it's easy to do, you know what I'm saying, just the simple stuff. But if you have a life, you have a routine. Just talk about your life experiences, man. I'm sure everybody out there, or majority of people, will relate to it. And that's what's funny, truth. The truth is funny.
Right.
People can relate to it. It's hilarious.
I
want to
tell my life story. Okay, you did Comic View, correct?
Yes, sir.
Right, and that's actually the first time I saw you.
Okay.
I had just got back from the military.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and I had saw you do from Chicago. Like, cool. But when you did Comic View, what was that experience like? Because you got some people who have talked nicely about it, and then you got people like G. Anthony Brown had a problem with Comic View, and it, like, they were exploiting the comic.
Absolutely. I mean, when I first started, it was just all about being on television,
right.
stuff like that, get the peanuts that they pay me and stuff and all that. But the great thing about Comic View, the benefit was the exposure it gave you.
I figured,
right.
But at the time, they exploited you because, like, I was the most... I mean, like, I had all that TV airplay, but I didn't have the compensation.
You didn't
money,
get no residuals.
None of that, man. So I was, like, the most famous broke dude. I mean, you know, they'd be like, man, what you doing driving an Astro van, dude? Like, man. And I'm like, all I can afford right now, all right? You know? So the thing is, it's just that, like I say, it that kind of, like, can hurt you a little bit and all that because, like, you got all the fame. And stuff like that. And people just look at you on television and think, yo, you automatically made it once they see you on that idiot box.
Okay. So, okay, when you did it, I'm trying to remember. Wasn't it set up like a contest format at first?
Yeah.
Were you doing it when it was the contest format?
When the first day they started doing it as a contest format, that's when I first did Comic View. D.L. Hughley was
right.
That was his last year of hosting, I believe. I believe it was
because he had won. And then he got the host.
He had one. He started out Comic View as the host. Period.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
Just
okay.
One,
right?
Yeah. It was just
okay. That's probably what I'm talking about.
Fed won the first year of them doing the competition. He became the host after the first host after D.L. Hughley.
Right.
When I started, it was the competition going on. And I was 19 years old, man. Went to California on television, and it went from there. But then I was going back every year, and then. I won. I was special.
Right.
Okay.
The grandstand.
So I won that, man. And, you know, then
well,
rest
probably
of
one of the funniest. I'm not saying it's really because dude is here. I'm honestly not saying
right.
But it's, I took, almost everything, dude, that I remember. He was saying that when he was talking about the girl wants a thug, but a sensitive guy.
Oh, yeah.
And my man say he want a girl to come up, flowers, like, hey, baby, happy Valentine's Day, and then smashed over the head with it, right? And told her, get up, you ain't dead, right? Like, I mean, this still fam, but I'm still fan.
That's what I pray. I appreciate it, but at the same time, too, yeah, with that joke, it's just talking about how women just, you know, they like a man to be tough and, you know, mm-hmm. you know, just be a man, but then they want a man, you know, show a sensitivity and cater to my needs and stuff like that. But you got to watch them guys because, you know,
they make the kids.
But at the same time, them cats, them emotions, man, they can be bipolar. You know,
right.
They come in, flowers and smack you over the head with them. Yeah, I mean, them old school, man. That's your old school back in the day in the 90s. I had fun in them days, man.
Yeah, right. I remember I'm in love with a crackhead vividly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vividly.
1-8-5-1-4-1-2-0-2.
I've had a number of questions from our people in the chat room here. First question comes from Ms. Tony from Hot Topics Talk Radio.
Tony, no, she should have called.
How do you keep your comedy fresh is one of her questions.
You know what? I think every day, man. My wheels turn 24/7. I can just be sitting on the couch, man, and you'll come in and think I'm just doing nothing. I'm working, you know.
Right, right.
Just like, you know, I'm just, you know, that's all. It's just, but with what's going on, current events and stuff like that, I kind of stay away from current events a lot because time does pass. It becomes old news,
right?
Stuff like that. So I try to keep stuff that I can just hold on to and put in the archives and bring out if I need it as my arsenal and bring out, because I can bring I'm in love with a crackhead out, you know, today, and it's still relevant and stuff like that. So,
okay.
I mean, but yeah, just that's all. Just think. Yeah, that's how I keep it fresh.
And there's another question since you brought thinking up. This question comes from Miss Jolene, and she would like to know, can you be funny and intelligent at the same time?
Well, y'all come see my show.
I mean, there you go.
Good answer. I like that.
That's all the time. I mean, it's nothing better than being funny than being funny and intelligent. Like, women find that really, really attractive when you can speak well and when you can make them laugh.
It's
crazy.
Absolutely.
I don't know if Candace got another question, because something I want to put up. real quick, just to get a rebuttal to that, it's a comedian that just passed who was he passed a while back. Patrice O'Neill was a funny and really, really smart dude.
Yeah.
And he was like, if you guys ever get a chance, type in, go on YouTube or even go on Amazon, buy this DVD. It's called Patrice O'Neill, F-ing in the Room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't find that intelligent and funny, something's wrong.
But, I mean, just look up Patrice O'Neill, because he got early work than Elephant in the Room. But you get his early work, man, you'll find that even more hilarious, too. So,
when they're talking about intelligence and being funny, do you find that a lot of your peers, and we ain't going to get you mentioned on names or whatever, but do you think it's easier just for them to just, you know, make the same silly sex jokes or whatever without, you know, mindless humor?
Yeah.
The kind of humor that BET kind of got slammed for in the later years of Comic View.
Absolutely. And the thing is with that is just it's crowds for it, though, you know.
All right.
It depends what arenas you're in, because there's been plenty of arenas where I had dumbed down my jokes because it goes over people's
head.
And it throws you because you're like, man, you give them all this hot, like, creative, smart material, and they don't get it. But then somebody come up right behind you and just some, hey, man, boogie in my butt. And then, you know, this, you know, then it's like crazy.
Roar.
You know, it's like, no, Eddie Murphy. No, he did a song called Boogie in the Butt.
Right.
No, just Eddie,
right.
But I'm just saying, like, far as with, you know, it's mindless humor.
Exactly.
And they get it. But half the time, when you're in the nightclubs and the lounges, man, you're dealing with a lot of just people that are late night drinkers and stuff like that. They drunk and all that. So they really ain't trying to hit all that. So you got to give it to them faith first, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Head on.
So we're going to go ahead and get into this break. Then we got a call from the 951, which we already know is Tony.
All right.
And
we'll
I'm
back.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and do this commercial, because we did this commercial last week, but I don't know if you got it. So this is for you, Tony, True Brothers Radio.
Escúchala.
Truth Brothers Radio.
The new moon rode high in the crown of the metropolis, shining like who on top of this? People was tussling, arguing and bustling. Gangsters are Gotham, hardcore hustling. I'm wrestling with words and ideas. My ears is pricked, seeking what will transmit to scribes and apply to transcripts. Yo, this ain't no time where the usual want to sue them all.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Hello, everybody. Look at yourself. Not back to me. Not back at yourself. Not back to me. Sadly, you are not a monster. But if you listen to Grover, you will know all about the word on, just as this monster does. Look down. Back up. Yeah. Where am I? Ah! Oh, I am on a boat. What is in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It is a clam with two tickets to that thing you love. On my nose? Yeah. Oh. Anything is possible when you smell like a monster and know the word on. I am on a horse. Moo. Cow.
I'd like to make a request.
What you want here, baby?
Truth Brothers Radio.
Brothers, Brothers Radio. We're back with B Cole, and we got a caller. Hey Tony, you on with your brothers? What's your comment?
Now you know when you say Tony, you should have just called in. I'm like one of those little kids at the stove. Just gotta touch it because I gotta see if it's hot.
So.
Hi
up, Tony?
Candace, hi Ray.
Hey, Tony, how you doing, love?
Good. Hey B Cole.
Real quick. Hey, I heard your show real quick from the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Size does matter.
That's
just right.
Let me say that real quick.
Yes.
I know.
Just letting you know.
You want that gummy worm, that
there
anaconda malt liquor.
Right.
Think
that
about it.
That show had me taking tequila shots.
we just let you know. Yeah, people run from Godzilla. Nobody runs to Ant Man.
My bad. We know you got a. I'm a weird guest. You have a question for the in-house guest tonight for B Cole. You know,
I have a question. Hey B Cole.
All right.
Question for you.
Yeah.
The comics that are out today, how do you stand apart from them now? I mean, you know, because I think that everybody is trying to do the same thing. How do you set yourself apart? And then my second question, or part two to that, would be of the comedians that have come before you, who would you say that you recognize or can not model after, but who do you think that you identify with more?
That's a good question. Well, to answer the first part of your question, To separate myself from a lot of comedians out there, just basically being yourself. So, you know, you really have to be yourself. And like I said earlier, if you have a life of experiences, that's your routine right there, you know. And most likely someone out there can relate to it, have been through the same thing you've been through. But you can make your life experiences real fun and translate it, you know, to be that, and someone's going to relate to it. Now, as far as the other question, man, of course I grew up listening to Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor, but the man that made me want to actually get on stage and do comedy and model myself after was Damon Wayans from the Wayans, you know, one of the old brothers of the Wayans brothers. So Damon, when I saw him before I started doing comedy, and before he was even on the color, he had an HBO special, One Night Stand.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You didn't even know this man's name.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like, I was looking at him like, wow.
This dude was on the edge.
He was on the edge.
Yeah. And the work he did with Robert Townsend.
Right.
He was
That's
so.
A, you didn't even know his name
right.
like that. He wasn't a household name then. But this particular HBO special he's having, it was a friend of mine, him and I watching in at his house. And the one thing he said that triggered it off, and I think I'm 18 years old, he's like, man, B, he reminds me of you. And when he said that, I'm like, what? I said, well, if that's the case, then You know, that's what I need to be doing.
Exactly,
then, you know?
Right.
And then I had to meet him, and when I did meet him, he knew who I was because he was a viewer of Comic View. He watched Comic View, and he knew who I was. So, I was really thrown from that because I'm a huge fan of his.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, after that, find out that his birthday and mine is the same day.
There you go.
So it was like this comedy connection I had with this guy. You know what I'm saying? Still have, I believe, and will soon hope and believe I'll work him soon.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. See, I like how you said that too because he's a real smart brother.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, like, and I love that type of humor. You know, and that's how my humor still stands to this day. Because, like, the new comedians now, it's all about swagger. It's swag comedy.
Yeah,
you know? And it's
right.
Just, like, comedians, they just up there, and they basically just talking as if, like, you're on the corner talking and all that. And there's nothing wrong with that if you can commit those people. But you got people who are real, like, Oku comedy lovers who love the setup of jokes.
Exactly.
Where, you know what I'm saying? You the beginning, you got set up, then you knock it down with a punchline. And you kind of, like... And that's me. That's what my comedy where it's like if you think I'm going one direction, I'll take a sharp turn, and you be like, oh man, he got me, and I didn't see that coming. You
right.
Know, stuff like that, and that's what my joke's always been since I've been writing for the past 20 years. You know? So I haven't changed, but the game has changed a lot though.
Wow.
Comedy is really
Well, I wish you all the best. I really do, and I tell you, congratulations to Truth Brothers and Candace for locking you down. They had to say that. Because
okay.
I would have been right in there.
Right. I know, right?
Really?
Don't worry. Oh, how'd you like your Old Spice commercial, too? That was for you.
You know what? I'm loving it. But I still want that tequila commercial.
No, we talked about it, and we're going to email you a case of tequila.
We emailed the tequila.
You know I need it. You know I need it to do the shows that I've been doing lately. I need to be comatose. Well, good show, you guys, and be cold. Good luck to you. The best to you.
Thank you very much.
I wish
you
nothing but good things to come. Truth Brothers, Candace, you guys holding it down.
All right.
I'm going to go back to work.
All right. I said, you got it.
All right, you guys, have a good evening.
All right,
I'm still listening in. Good night.
Good night.
All right, real quick, though, I want to ask you a question, man. Like, I agree with what you said about having a because I'm big on comedy altogether. I love all type of comedy,
right.
Even the swag or whatever. Like, I loved Bill Cosby himself when he just sat there and told his life. It used vulgar language or whatever.
Exactly.
I can go from his comedy all the way to Kevin Hart's comedy, like anywhere in between. Like it's so. If you had to describe your particular style of comedy, if you could describe it, how would you describe it?
Oh wow, that's hard. I honestly, I'm a man of I'm like Han Solo in the game, man. Like, and don't be that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like I'm just different. I'm
right.
Like, it's like, if I'm on the lineup of comedians, I'm going to make sure I stand up somehow on material and stuff like that. So what particular style it is and stuff like that, I don't know.
I'm just
me just want to be funny, man. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Just want to make people. I like taking people on a ride and then, like I said, make that short turn where they didn't see it. My first joke I ever said in my comedy career when I got on stage, like, hey, I'm a young black man, I just finished college, get a little black name, and the crowd go crazy, but I just come right back and say, well, I didn't graduate, I just finished going.
Right.
You see, so it's like, I always, that's the type of folks I always like to do, is
right.
Like, you know, you're saying, you pull that pin out of the grenade, and you toss it, and they wait 3 seconds, then boom, and it's an explosion, you know
right.
what I'm saying? So, that's always been my style, so, yeah.
Cool.
I have a question for you. Going forward with the next 10 years, where do you see, you know, this whole comedy gig, or you say it transcending more into film, you know, and other things?
Yeah, because the next 10 years, it'll be 30 years for me in comedy. And the thing is, I've been, it's not any more comedy outlets more, like for urban comedy these days. You know, like the Def Comedy Jams, the Bad Boys of Comedy, the Comedy Views, all stuff is on. You know what I'm saying? So right now, there's a lot of comedians, these young comedians, their whole goal is to get on Shaquille O'Neal All-Star Comedy Show, which is cool, but you got to think bigger than that, man. See, at the point I'm at right now, I'm trying to get on Leno. You know, I'm trying to sit on the couch with Colin and O'Brien and stuff like that. You know, so that's my whole thing, and to get there will be through the vehicle of film and comedy, music, and stuff like that. The whole nine. I'm just like a all avenues guy. You know,
right? So okay, we want you to talk about the movie you got coming up, but also after that, I want you to tell me, do you see a sitcom in your future? Do you would want to do it? Sitcom,
man. Actually,
like
I just got approached about writing a sitcom. Helped writing a sitcom on a good friend, comedian named Mark Simmons. He came up with an idea. Always wanted to do films and movies. I got some sitcom ideas, but this particular idea he brought to me, I was like, okay, let's do it. It's called 40 is the New 20, and it's about four guys grew up together and. You know, they're knocking on 40 years old, and it's just like, you know, just going through that like pre mid life crisis.
You know, just, red vet again.
Yeah. So my thing is I think it's a great idea, and I'm gonna jump on it because my thing at this point right now, where I am, I just want to be something. I want to be part of something big right now.
All right. Right.
Opposed to me trying to create something to create the next big thing. At this point right now, I just want to be part of something big. Because like I said, by me doing the get-together, that came from just the top of my head.
Right.
And I had to put that on paper, and then I had to make it into production. It was a lot of work, the whole night, everything.
That was going to be my – oh, I'm sorry.
No. Then it went on with my other films, and then I was filming sketch comedy, stuff like that. But it just feels good to be part of a project opposed to like eating it off right now.
So,
you know?
Okay, tell us about your movie.
Well, I got a movie in stores right now. It's called The Get Together. Very funny film. Star myself, Michael Collier, another Chicago pioneer comedian. You got Tony Rabbits, Detroit bound. He got a special. It's been running Showtime called Wired. That's available on Netflix too. Very funny stand-up comedian. Check him out. Tony Robbins is a very funny comedian. What he did for my movie A Get Together is what Chris Tucker did for Friday.
Okay.
So and that's what basically people relate my movie to. They say if Friday and House Party had a baby, it'd be a get together.
Okay.
You know what?
That's not a bad melt at all.
I had to think of a combination. That's probably the best one
that
I've heard.
And that's exactly what they say in the reviews and stuff like that. That movie is man, it got a lot of Chicago comedians such as Deion Cole and then funny dude. Right, my wife Tiffany Curtis, you know, Tiffany Curtis Cole, she's in a movie, Marlon Mitchell and Mark. It's hilarious, it's funny, man. And it's like I said, it's on Netflix, they've been running on Showtime, the movie channel, TMZ, also Cinemax. So, like, listeners, man, because it's definitely in there.
Question, Candace, I know you had one real fast. I know you want to ask something.
Before you do that, 818-514-1102. If you got any questions, go ahead and call in. The lines are open.
I was going to say, you know, going into writing screenplays or whatnot and the different projects you've done, how wild is it to see the thoughts that come from your mind onto paper, transcend into your vision?
It's great. I see it before it even gets on paper. You know what I'm saying? So you got to have that vision before you even write it.
Baby.
Yeah,
right. But
put it down
for other people to where you get to the point where you're sharing your works with other people and they're seeing everything that you put out.
Yeah, and that's good. That's a thing to have, is someone who can share your vision and see your vision. And I think I delegated real good to my production team and stuff like that, and they did. There's been times I had disagreements with some of the producers that I was working with and stuff like that. One case in particular, it was a sketch that I was doing, and I've written it and turned it in, and he's like, man, and he didn't want to film it. I don't want to film this because it's not funny to me. It's funny. I'm like, dude, it's funny. Trust me. I'm like, dude, take it from me. I mean, like, you're a producer, but I know comedy, you know?
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. And then the moment we start filming stuff like, man, he pulled me to the side like, B, this is hilarious, man. You're like, dude, sometimes you just gotta, you know,
right,
do it.
I got to get to that, man. We're going to take a quick break. I got a couple questions I want to ask you when we come back on this, too, man. So be right back. Quick break. Truth Brothers Radio with B. Cole.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately, and with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. If a major factor in dancing like a retard, may cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers. Truth Brothers Radio. And yes, on the Mighty Wheels of Steel, that was super producer Candace.
All right.
Yeah.
Life in a fast lane.
There you go.
DJ Hero. DJ Hero has worked again. My question to the special guest again, ladies and gentlemen, we have legendary Chi-Town comedian B. Cole in the building. There, we just basically having a quick Q&A with the man. He was gracious enough to sit down with us, and it was
a second time
after the first date debacle. And if you haven't noticed, if you haven't heard back when you archive the show or whatever, listen to In Mama's Bass, and we played just at the bottom of the first hour. You'll be able to hear that. And that's an exclusive cut off B. Cole's comedy album.
So he's looking for people to be in his video. So if you got some pictures and you want to send it to him, all you got to do is send it to the True Brothers. We want Truth And Truth is TRUF at ATT.net.
All one word. Quit spacing them out. And don't put it in the subject box. What's wrong with y'all?
Yeah, don't
quit big enough.
Your messages
y'all know
in
how
the big
to
box. Right. Put them in the big box.
So, now, my question to you, man, is I know you say you. What's the most disappointing thing about this business right now to you? I mean, I know you speak on a lot of the positives and everything you're looking forward to and getting into. Too, but what would you say the most disappointing thing that comes with this business?
Man, to speak for myself, man, it's more like trying to maintain and control yourself, you know what I'm saying? Keep a lot of yourself and who you are. Like in the industry, man, they put you through that machine, mm-hmm. and it's either you're going to go with it or not. And, you know, they want to shape and form you and make you into what they want you to be and stuff like that, the whole nine. And I avoided a lot of those, you know, obstacles right there, man. So I, you know, it may take a longer time
right.
to get to where you're going, but man, once you get there, you can really appreciate it and stuff like that.
You know? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you feel like there's a pressure for you to be funny or for you to in all your endeavors to come off in a way that people might expect you to do? And I'm asking that because I look at somebody like Eddie Murphy, who's funny, legend in the game, and he does this movie, gets nominated for an Oscar. Now, it's already a shoe-in that he has the Oscar. They done carved his name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt this pressure to have to norm it because he said he felt like he had to do what his fans wanted, and it cost him an Oscar.
Yeah, Norbert.
It cost him an Oscar.
Yeah, Norbert did cost him that Oscar, man. I think timing was bad with Eddie and that.
Yeah,
man.
I mean,
yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
They told him, don't release this movie till after the Oscars.
And that's the thing. I mean, sometimes, you know, you have some comedians and artists such as Eddie Murphy, man, who are just rebellious and just gonna do what they're going to do and do what they feel they believe and take the risk. Now, it was a big risk that he's taken, and he's lost for it. It cost him. But you get sometimes you take those risks, and it works your benefit.
Right.
And you know, it's like, you know, you get some people that's against the grain and some people roll with it. You know, I'm one of them comedians who's more against the grain, against it.
You feel like it's hard for those who don't confirm and who don't just lead to whatever they get to get into? Longevity and the notoriety and the accolades with everything that comes with the business.
Because, I mean, the quicker you get, the faster you get it, the faster you lose it as well, man. I mean, we can go ahead and talk about comedians who just got a 5-year shelf life, you know what I'm saying, such as Cat Williams, you know what I'm saying?
Huh, okay. See, I'm glad you said that, because I would have said that, I would have got accused of that. So I'm glad you said
Cat
that.
Cat Williams, Mike Epps, stuff like that. It was like, no, do you want to be a comedian who just there for the moment, and then after 5 years, you got the new guy coming in and take that place? Because right now, the new guy is Kevin Hart. That's the new guy. But that's what it is. It's like with Hollywood and black entertainers, as far as comedians, Hollywood, what they do, they just want to know who's the next one. It's like they uncap a jar, and whoever's at the top of the jar, they just pick you out. Don't dig at the bottom and try to look for who's ever at the top right at the moment. And that's what Kevin Hart was at that point. And Kevin Williams was at the point.
Do you feel that when they do pull you out of that jar and say, okay, you're the next one, then do you think they come at you with the test like David Chappelle when they come into your dressing room with the dress and say, hey, you know what? Hey, Cole, this would be cool. Put this. This is gonna be funny, we want you to, you know, be Big Mama's little mama from Madea's side and see what you know.
But that's unfortunately happens to a lot of black, not just comedians, actors, stuff like that as well, man. Where it's like, you know, I mean, they come at you and expecting you to, you know, chase that money, you know what I'm saying? It's really out the set. This is the sellout phase right here. Mm-hmm. You got to make that decision. Okay, am I about to go ahead and accept this and this could be considered a sellout?
Or
am I going to hold on to my morals and you know, just do what's right in my heart and make it happen? I met Christopher Williams, man, some years ago when I was out there in L.A. for a little while. And I met him. He was just talking. And when I met him, he was just cool, like laid back, some thug stuff, man. You know what I'm saying?
Christopher Williams.
Christopher Williams.
Like, are you serious?
Hat to the back, jeans. Like, and he just basically. And we was in the studio at the time, and he was just telling me the people that was in there. That was all the conversation. He was just, man, like, this is who I am. They molded me into suit wearing and this pretty boy doing stuff like that. But he's like, man, I'm really like from the street. I'm the street. That's what they're. I'm like, wow. You know what I'm saying? It's like the image is everything.
Yeah.
In Hollywood and stuff like that.
Same thing
and
with Whitney Houston, too. Yeah.
Right. So it's like you let them make you into something that you're not, then you're never going to be able to come back to who you really are. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Because when you try to come back to who you are, it's not a fit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what Hollywood puts you out as, this person. Yeah. Stuff like that. So you got to be careful on what you choose and what you accept in this game, man. And like I said, that's why I'm trying to just start my own, you know, well, that's why I have my own production company, film company, doing my own thing so I can run the show.
Right.
You know.
So let me ask you this. You start up your stuff and you're trying to build stuff from the ground up and you want control of everything, and I love that. So you come up with an idea for a movie, you come up with all these characters, and if you come up with a female character, do you feel that pressure that I can only play this character because I came up with it? And I'm just bringing up the Madea thing because we've done shows where we've gotten to it about Tyler Perry and how callers call up and say, well, Tyler Perry's the only one who can play that role because he really... And when you did Comic View, wasn't the sister, the big chick?
Yeah.
Laura.
Because my argument was, if I'm writing Madea and directing a movie, she's perfect for that part.
Yeah,
she is Madea, and she's already a female. That way I don't have to put some dude in a bra, because the meaning. I don't want to ask a brother to do
but
that.
And to add on to that question that you just asked, do you feel like most of the time the Madea character isn't funny? It's the fact that Tyler's in the character that adds to the humor of that.
Honestly, man, I can't even really... I haven't watched Madea or even seen Madea completely to even give an opinion.
Okay. Okay.
Don't feel bad.
Right.
It's like, I really
keep it in general about...
Right. The most I've probably seen Madea or the pairing character or that character, it may probably like a good 30 seconds before I turn the channel or just take my attention off of it. So I can't give my opinion on it, man, you know. But, I mean, it's what he do. That's what he do. That's what he decided to do. It works for him. Hey, so be it.
When you come up with all these characters, I mean, part of it is you have to find the right people these characters.
Exactly. And then that's really a good thing for me because, like, if you watch my movies from, I mean, Little Crackhead, A Get Together, and my movie Past Due, you got basically majority, it's a core of cast members that's in all my movies, you know what I'm saying? And when I write for these guys because I know half these guys are stand-up comedians. So I watch them on stage, and I see their whole personality on how they are. And I just write into their character.
Right.
I write their character into the screenplay
and that's
on how they are.
And that,
you know,
the thing about that is, like, I was actually going into that as my next question. Past to another funny movie, like, with people like Tony Scofield, all these Chicago comedians that was in that movie. And, like, do you feel it's important to keep the comedy? I mean, I don't want to say comedy. Do you feel it's important that you keep the people that you already know in this movie? Or do you really, are you into giving somebody who's hungry like that, who wants that shot, and, like which one do you actually go with? Like, your boy is Tony, but this dude here is hungry. He wants it. How do you look at that?
The thing is, the years I've been doing these movies and stuff like that, it's been a lot of comedians that I've known that's in my generation that I brought on board to be in the film and stuff like that. But now, at this point, it's about cats who's really hungry for and who's going to really do the job. I may go and dig back and pull some cats who I used to run with and stuff like that. Because, like I said, the comedy game for me right now, a lot of the guys I ran with, they're not around anymore. You know what I'm saying? Cats off traveling, doing their thing, doing movies, guys doing radio, stuff like that. So cats not around like they not around like they used to, where I can just like a phone call. Yo, man, I want you to do this movie, you know, clear your schedule the whole nine. So I deal with a lot of the up and coming hungry comedians right there to get a best performance the whole nine and not worry about, okay, man, you only got me for a couple of hours, man. Let's do this.
Right.
Let this happen.
Right.
I can accept that from Denzel. You know?
Right, right.
I don't need to take that from, you know what I'm saying?
From
such
right, right. right.
And so, yeah, but it is what it is, man. And honestly, the great work that's been produced by me, man, that's all God's work, man. On the real. It's like the stuff that I watch that put together, I just look at it like, how did this happen?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just something just like I'm meant to be, you know. I really believe a get-together is really going to go down in history as a great, one of the greatest cult classes out here. Because
right.
just like how Cooley High back in the day, I grew up watching Cooley High.
Exactly.
Love Cooley High, you know what
love
I'm saying?
It.
It was done way before my time, but it was appreciated later on in life.
That's how I am
a lot
about
of people,
Corn man. Early, man.
Right.
Like,
you know,
that's
right.
another
that,
one.
That was
that's
how
another,
I am about that.
One.
Right. And,
yeah.
and you got movies like that was made in a time that wasn't really appreciated as it is now. You
right.
know what I'm saying? That's
yeah.
how we get together is going to be later on in the years, man. It's
would you still rub that, though, as if it was just fresh, as if fresh fame? Like, if it gets to the point where you 60.
I know, right?
And it's like, it's brand, it's, oh, man, yeah, I know you got black hand this one, but could you sign it?
But what's
like,
so funny, I mean, because we get together, it's like, once it reached that generation and they fall in love with it, and here it is, we got a live performance or a live appearance from one of the actors in it, and then here I am, I'm a 60-year-old.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
They're like, hey, man, you ain't the same dude from the movie, man.
You be old now.
Like, right.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's the thing is like with my jokes and my writing and stuff like that, I always want to make sure my comedy is ageless. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Like, okay.
It can go on, this comedy's going to be funny 20 years from now. Stuff
right.
like that, so it's definitely ageless. Unfortunately, I age for
right,
my,
but you're right for your
life.
Legacy.
Yeah,
you're right for your
exactly.
legacy. You're looking down the wheel of time, and you want stuff to stand up.
Exactly.
And very few so-called artists are doing that this day. You pick the genre; they don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Now, when you were talking about swag comedy, is that just going to be another code word for like gangster comedy? We try a gangster
yeah,
comedy.
Mean,
now is it so now you're gonna be
comedy?
Funny and tough
that's,
at the
yeah,
same
yeah,
time?
Yeah, they gangster comedy. Man. And you know what's so crazy? It's like it's a lot of comedians. Like I said, I was inspired off Damon Wayans, man, and a lot of comedians of my generation was basically inspired off comedians before the Def Comedy Jam era.
Right,
and
right.
When the Def Comedy Jam, I've seen a lot of comedians come in and get on in the game because they saw Def Comedy Jam and they saw themselves being familiar with the person they see
right,
on the
right.
Like that person that reminds me of somebody on my block or in my family. So it's like, man, that's me. You know, a lot of cats, that's me. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what Def Jam put out. Def Jam brought the hip hop culture into comedy.
Right, right.
So therefore, like, don't see them street dudes up there doing comedy. And that's what just started coming into the game, man. And the comedy game has really changed because of that. You know what I'm saying? I remember doing comedy when DJs weren't even in comedy shows. People came up to the show, came up to the stage. Comedians come to the stage by a round of applause.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
It's like now, it's like you got to have a soundtrack
right.
coming to the stage. You got to
right.
be bouncing. And you know,
right.
you know, but that's the whole thing that Comedy Jam brought in. Russell Simmons, he's the hip-hop, godfather of hip-hop. So he brought his whole spiel into the comedy game. And it's still going to this day. But real comedy is about to... You know, like
it's a lot
rise again.
There you go.
Like, no, it's about
yeah.
to rise again. Like you mentioned, Kevin Hart. You know,
right.
so you went from Bill Cosby to Kevin Hart. You look at that in between all that, man. It's like it's all swag comedy. But Kevin Hart, and it's gonna be another comedian after Kevin Hart like that. Those are gonna be the real comedians that's rising again.
Okay, 818-514-1202. We are putting it down with B. Cole. He is blowing up this show. If you guys still got any questions, we got a couple of lines open. Feel free to jump in.
And, yeah, we still, again, any questions that might be in the chat room, we, you know, still shoot out or whatever, he will answer those. We'll make them, whatever, you know, we got him here. He's tied up in the basement. But, my other question I wanted to ask you, man, is like,
I know you said Damon Wayans. Like, do you appreciate certain like even the sketches? Are those important to a career? Like the Endless Colors and the like it was one sketch show that I liked. Cedric Entertainer Presents before it actually got canceled.
Yeah,
Afian Crockett had Crockett had a decent sketch show.
but with that, man, it's the same thing. It's really about the material you putting out. Even with sketch comedy, same with stand-up comedy, man, as far as with jokes, is the material you put out into your sketches. And it's like, if you got some sketch comedy that has substance and intelligence to it, and you think Avion, like Living Color, I loved it. You know, they really did a great
cut
job
is,
on that.
Though,
cut
yeah.
as they did. I don't think like Chappelle's Show, same way. Chappelle,
mm-hmm.
and then classic, but even man, a show that didn't get its due, man, only come on for one season, man, was Apocalypse News with
Dan
Allen.
Yeah, I tried to put him,
man.
Oh my God, dude,
that didn't do much. I mean, I watched episodes.
It didn't get a chance to catch that fire,
but
to get it going.
But maybe I'm missing it, because he, you know what, he's blowing up Broadway right now. He's on four times.
Yeah, it's Brooke was just on NPR.
But you know what, it was that time it was on. It was doing Barack Obama's campaign too, like before he became president. So everything was relevant at that time too as well. So I wouldn't know how you would take on to it watching it now and stuff like that. But man, some pretty funny sketches. And it was brilliant too, man. But like the sketches now today and stuff like that, I watch A.I. Crockett. I watch some other sketch comedy shows. It just didn't really do it for me, man, and stuff like that. Because like I said, a lot of these cats are just taking the easy route.
You're talking about the Chocolate News. Do you think part of the problem was Comedy Central was trying to slip someone into Chappelle's slot and might have promoted it and pushed it the wrong way?
Yeah, I think the time was wrong for Dave and I just because it was right after Chappelle.
Yep, sure was.
And people were expecting Chappelle.
And people miss Chappelle. People were like, they wanted more Chappelle. And
still
and this Chocolate News, man, it was like, I thought it was just brilliant, brilliant writing. And it was kind of a step up from Chappelle. Chappelle's was good, man, but Chocolate News, if you was a Chappelle lover and you went to David Allen Greer, you wouldn't appreciate David Allen Greer.
I love Chappelle's show.
You really gonna give that comparison, and you really gonna
that's and I think but, I don't think David Allen Greer got a fair shake because of that.
He probably didn't. I think they tried to push it like, okay, well, Chappelle's gone, but.
Look at he's black.
That's
here you go.
We got one.
But
think about it. And in fact, who's the Mexican comedian?
Carlos Mencia.
He jumped right in there and fit right off Chappelle. Yeah. Structured everything.
But that's what Carlos Mencia does. He's been known to bite.
Right, but I'm just saying.
It didn't work for him now.
He struggled and tried to jump right in Chappelle's slot.
Yeah,
right. He tried to give Comedy Central probably what they were looking for.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, they heard the news that Chappelle turned down
$50 million.
$50 million and got out of it. Man, everybody wanted like, well, let me get an offer like that. I'm taking it. But you know, you really
that's
don't
the price
know.
Of your soul,
right, though. And you don't know until you really get there, man.
When the Chappelle debacle went down, I remember when they were trying to show the Lost episodes of when he left. Charlie Murphy and the other cat, Ashy Larry, was it?
My man Donnell.
We've had a little debate about that too, because when they went on there and then they was showing the skits and then they were out there in the audience talking about, hey, wasn't that funny? Didn't you like that? There was nothing offensive about that, right? Right? Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of like, man, y'all kind of turned on your boy. But again, contracts and paper and money
they had to be fed.
How did you interpret that as a comedian watching it almost from the inside looking out?
Well,
instead of us.
Well, from a business point is like, yeah, you know, it's business. You're under contract. You got to steady go on stuff
right.
like that. Now I know these guys are friends. And just you know, you got a loyalty that's involved right as a friendship too. If they'll walk away from $50 million, you can walk away from your $30,000 a year. You know,
right?
You know, they wasn't making that much money as Chappelle was.
Exactly.
You know, but at the same time, I feel that they still had to eat and they had to work.
Right.
I kind of took that as that they kind of wanted to.
they want to taking over the show. It's just Chappelle's gone, so now we're going to take over. They couldn't hold
they
it.
Couldn't
like
hold it down. Couldn't so hold you it. Think they were trying? You know, you think they were trying to hold it down until all this get worked out? You think they were? This is my time.
I took it as that. I looked at
that's
it
how
as
I
like,
took it. Too, but
like,
I
okay, cool. He I, like if you remember Hollywood Shuffle.
Oh, it was Bamboozled.
Yeah, but even with Hollywood Shuffle, when Rick Townsend like turned on the pimp party, he took the wig off. Like, man, I can't do this. Then you had down the back, like, I do it. You
right,
know
right, right.
That's,
yeah.
that whole, that, that's one of my favorite
that's,
parts, right?
Right.
One.
That's what I'm saying. Bamboozled when they take Tantan back and they tell him, I'll just stick Honeycutt.
Yeah.
Honeycutt was right there, like, all right.
Yeah.
It's my time.
And that's my thing. I mean, it's at a time like they're good comics, except for, I'm sorry, I ain't trying to be mean, but I seen Charlie Murphy stand up. I wasn't moved.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No,
not
really. He booed recently.
Yeah, he got booed a couple times. He got booed at a college thing where he came back out, here's your check. I don't need it, and walk off the stage.
Yeah. And that happened to him a lot. See, the thing is, a lot of these guys get this television recognition. They want to go and stand up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? But they don't do
shit.
Look at Michael Richards from you get this fame of being a comedic actor, but then you get on stage, it's totally different, man. It's totally different.
Yeah.
So I don't expect guys who try to get the comedy and try to. So it's taking a lot away from the guys who are serious and coming up, and then you got these guys, Charlie Murphy.
And Charlie Murphy's more like a character actor.
Yeah.
Right. He.
And that's
like if you take Will Smith
stuff up
from what he did in the Fresh Prince, take Will Smith, try to get him to do stand up.
Right.
Will Smith, Fresh Prince had funny scenes,
but
you can't get him to do a stand up comedy.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And I think when cats like that do that, I think they're showing disrespect for the genre that they're in. I mean,
you're killing it. I'm
right.
Gonna be, I feel
every,
like,
every rapper will be a singer. Every singer will be a rapper.
Yeah. It's But, I mean, I'm not against nobody different putting their hand in the different things. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got people who are – you got actual actors and actresses who's out here mad because they're getting passed up for roles of people who are just hot right now.
Yeah.
Like, you got athletes that's getting the roles. That like Rihanna in Battleship, it was another lady who was, like, upset because she went out there role because everything just stayed in the news. So they put her in there.
But you know what? That also gets people into the seats.
Exactly.
You got that.
Right.
Even as a
you need
producer,
mass appeal.
Exactly. As a producer, I want to get attached to people. They shot the same. I want people that I know can people to the theater to see.
Because at the end of
production.
The day, it's all about numbers. That's it. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
And
they don't care.
Real quick, I want to ask, do you still remember the whole everything from I'm in Love with a Crackhead? Do you remember that whole skit?
I think so. Like half of it, sometimes, I mean, people still ask me, but I remember it, man. Because they ask me to do it. And what's so crazy, real quick, man, about I'm in Love with a Crackhead, did the show. I was doing a show in Minneapolis, Minnesota one before, and it was a guy who came up to me and told me he got off crack simply because of my porn.
No.
Because he had his mom pass,
okay,
and he's like, and he took that real hard, and he hated that his mom didn't seem clean to be able to be clean. But he was watching a comedy view one night, and he just heard me do that whole entire poem. And he just thought that his mom,
right,
saying it, you know, and he's like, man, and he got clean. Then at the end of the show, at the end of the comedy show that night, he proposed to his girlfriend on stage and got engaged. So, I mean, so that does a lot for me. You know what I'm saying? It does a lot. Just let me know that if it was just that one person to save, that was my job. You
know? Well, right.
Definitely, man. We really got to keep coming through, bro, man. I know you had a lot to apologize for the show.
Man,
yeah.
You definitely got to
have me back, man.
Yeah.
So much talk.
Yeah, you definitely welcome back anytime, man.
Anytime.
You're part of True Brothers family, man.
Yes,
big call, everybody.
That's right. And this was a fantastic show on a Thursday. And since it really gets topic, that's going to be our topic Monday. It is really reality. So we'll be getting those events out starting tomorrow. So it's been a wonderful show, man. I want to thank everybody who called and had a comment. And it has just been blast, man. It's Thursday, and
we got a quick, just one quick thank you out to Assassin's Creed. Thank you, Grover. You did your thing, man. Yeah, right. He's riding cows home.
Last thing I'll throw out too, ladies, do not forget to submit your photos. We want truth.com. That's WEWANTTRUF at ATT.net.
There you go. So we're going to give it to you like this. If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers,
then the truth ain't in you.
Peace.
Truth ain't.
Peace.